Welcome to the Rapid Learning Center's audio tutorial, Introduction to AP Psychology. By listening to this tutorial, you will learn about the following: what AP Psychology is, the scope of AP Psychology, including history and approaches, cognition and learning, personality and behavior, how to study AP Psychology, and what the AP exam is, AP study tips, and AP exam tips. The AP Psychology Concept Map. The AP Psychology content in this tutorial includes history and approaches to psychology, research methods, biological basis of behavior, learning and cognition, motivation, personality and behavior, including abnormal behavior and the treatment of abnormal behavior. Also, AP Psychology study tips and AP Psychology exam tips. Let's begin with what the Advanced Placement, or AP Psychology, is. The Advanced Placement program provides students in high school the opportunity to earn a college credit or placement with college programs. The AP Psychology course is a course similar to what first-year college students would take. The AP Psychology exam is a combination of multiple choice, 66%, and two free response questions, 33% of the exam. The exam is scored between 1 and 5, and individual institutions set their own standards for credit, but on average, scores ranging from between 3 and 5 will be enough to gain credit. The scope of the exam. The writers acknowledge that teachers vary a little in the content and emphasis of an AP Psychology course. Therefore, they write questions over every topic and do not expect any one student to know them all. Let's begin with the history of psychology and approaches of psychology, including research methods and the biological basis of behavior. Psychology definition. Psychology is a science that deals with mental processes and behavior, and the focus is on emotional and behavioral characteristics of individuals through all stages of life, groups, and activities. Evidence shows that people as far back as the ancient times have asked the following questions: who am I? From where come our thoughts, our feelings, our actions? And how are we to understand and master or manage those around us? The ancient times. Psychology goes back to the times of Buddha, who pondered how sensations and perceptions combine to form ideas. In China, when Confucius stressed the powers of ideas of an educated mind, and in ancient Israel, where Hebrew scriptures anticipated today's psychology by linking mind and emotion to the body. The development of psychology, ancient Greece. The writings from ancient Greece offered a variety of different ideas about mind and body. Socrates viewed the mind as being separable from the body and believed it continued after death. Plato was Socrates' greatest student and his scribe. Plato helped lay the foundation of natural philosophy, science, and Western philosophy. Plato's most famous student was Aristotle. He loved data more than sheer logic, and therefore he derived principles from careful observations. His observations told him that the soul is not separable from the body, and the same holds good for particular parts of the soul. Both these ideas were contrary to what his mentors Socrates and Plato believed. Major historical figures in psychology. The major historical figures that influence and develop psychology in the last 150 years include Mary Calkins and Charles Darwin. Mary Calkins was a psychologist and a philosopher. She made significant contributions to psychology with her work on the paired associates technique and her work in self-psychology. The theory of natural selection by Charles Darwin is the roots for the field of evolutionary psychology. Sigmund Freud was an Australian neurologist who's credited with the development of psychoanalysis and other significant contributions to psychology. Freud recognized the influence of cultural differences on psychology and behavior, and his work contributed to clinical psychology and abnormal psychology. Another major influential figure was G. Stanley Hall. He was an American psychologist who founded the American Journal of Psychology and was appointed the first president of the American Psychological Association. William James is called the father of psychology. His textbook, The Principles of Psychology, and his theories on pragmatism and functionalism led to his major influence in the field. Ivan Pavlov made important discoveries in psychology in addition to his work on the physiology of the digestive tract. His work on reflexes and operant conditioning demonstrated the techniques of experiments of reactions to one's environment in a scientific, organized manner. Other significant figures include Jean Piaget, for his work on the cognitive development of children based on the idea that children think differently than adults. Carl Rogers, he's regarded by some as the most influential psychologist of the 20th century. The major theme of his work was the person-centered idea to the understanding of personality and relationship between people. B.F. Skinner, he is known for his work in operant conditioning and negative reinforcement. John B. Watson, John B. Watson developed behaviorism and the belief that all things a human does can be regarded and treated as a behavior. Many philosophers such as Aristotle and Plato had an early major influence in the development of psychology. The word psychology is derived from the Greek word psyche, which means soul or mind. Psychology was a branch of philosophy until approximately the 1870s, when Wilhelm Wundt and his experiments helped define and separate psychology as a field of its own. The first psychology experiment. In 1879, at the University of Leipzig, Wilhelm Wundt and his graduate students established the first psychology laboratory. They set up a machine to measure the time between people's hearing a ball hit a platform and their pressing a telegraph key in response. In these experiments, they found that people responded faster when asked to press the key as the sound occurred versus being asked to press the key when they were aware of perceiving the sound. Wundt was seeking to measure the fastest and simplest mental processes, what he referred to as the atoms of the mind. With the work of Wundt, there was a significant change in physiological science. After Wundt's experiments, the following fields or branches of psychology developed: structuralism and functionalism, gestalt psychology, behaviorism, and psychoanalysis. Let's discuss these different branches in more detail, beginning with structuralism. Edward Titchener was a student of Wilhelm Wundt, and his approach to psychological research was to engage people in self-reflective introspection. He's the father of structuralism. This new school of psychology focused on analyzing mental processes in their most basic components. It aimed to discover the elements of mind and to engage people in self-reflective introspection. Structuralism and functionalism. Structuralism ended shortly after the death of Edward Titchener in 1927. Criticisms of this school of psychology included, number one, the fact that it proved somewhat unreliable, varying from person to person. Number two, the act of reflecting on an experience can alter the memory of it. And also because recent studies indicate that people's recollections can vary. Functionalism arose in the U.S. as an alternative to structuralism. This school of psychology was developed through William James. Functionalism takes into account the impact of the person's environment in modeling their behavior. This approach to psychology influenced behaviorism as well as applied psychology. Behaviorism is the school of psychology based on the premise that everything a human does can be regarded and treated as a behavior. Individuals can be conditioned to their environment through operant conditioning and classical conditioning. This school of psychology was supported by individuals such as Ivan Pavlov, B.F. Skinner, John B. Watson, and Clark Hull. Behaviorism has declined since the 20th century, and some of its criticisms include the fact that it does not take into account an individual's free will, it does not take into account other forms of learning, and previously learned behavior can change with new information. Here's a question based on what you've learned so far in this tutorial. How are philosophy and psychology related? Answer: the major philosophers such as Aristotle and Plato had early influence on the development of psychology. The word psychology is derived from the Greek word psyche, which means soul or mind. Psychology was a branch of philosophy until approximately the 1870s. Recent approaches to explaining behavior include Gestalt psychology. This is based on the principle that we experience things that are not just part of our simple senses, such as vision. Instead, we experience things as whole forms with our brains filling in the missing information. Psychoanalytic. Sigmund Freud was a pioneer in development of psychoanalysis and the psychodynamic school of psychology. This way of approaching psychology is based on the influence of the unconscious mind on an individual's behavior. This method of observation, introspection, and clinical observation is used to treat psychological distress. Humanism. Humanism focuses on personal choice, potential, and self-actualization, and the belief that people are innately good. Unlike people who follow behaviorism and psychoanalysis, proponents of humanism believe that mental and social problems are a result of deviation from our natural good self and not unconscious influence. Now we'll discuss some of the different branches of psychology, beginning with biopsychology. This is a branch of psychology that involves looking at the impact of the brain itself and brain chemistry influence on thoughts and behaviors. Alterations in the levels of neurotransmitters and their role in diseases such as schizophrenia are studied. Clinical psychology. Clinical psychology is centered around the treatment of mental illness and abnormal behavior. Leitner Whitmer is considered to be the father of modern clinical psychology. Cognitive psychology. This branch of psychology studies a person's cognitive abilities, such as learning and memory. Counseling psychology. Counseling psychology involves treatment for individuals with emotional, social, and developmental concerns. Counseling psychologists use a variety of outcome questionnaires and measures to score an individual's distress. Developmental psychology. This is the branch of psychology that studies the growth and development of an individual throughout life. Educational psychology. This is the study of human learning based on their educational settings and teaching. One of the pioneers of this branch of psychology was Jerome Bruner. Through him, the ideas of Jean Piaget were introduced into this branch of psychology. Experimental psychology. This involves the use of experimental studies to investigate the behavior and mind of an individual. Investigations include case studies, observational studies, and correlational research. Personality psychology. This studies the individual differences between people and how people are unique. Social psychology. This is the study of social interactions between individuals. Social psychology involves applying scientific measures to assess the impact others have on an individual's behavior. Now I'll move on to discuss research methods in psychology, including the different types of research and statistics used. Let's begin this section by discussing the scientific theory. The scientific method involves the following: a hypothesis, observations, and then refining of the theory in light of the new observations. Therefore, in science, theory is linked to observation. A scientific theory explains through an integrated set of principles that organizes and predicts behavior or events. By organizing isolated facts, a theory simplifies things. Subjective observational bias. By using operational definitions of concepts to check on subjective observational bias, this allows for others to replicate or repeat the observations. The research strategies used in psychological science include descriptive, correlational, and experimental methods. Descriptive methods include the case study, surveys, and naturalistic observation. We test hypotheses and refine our theories by making observations that describe behavior, detecting correlations that help predict behavior, and doing experiments that help explain behavior. The case study. Among the oldest research methods is the case study. With this descriptive method, psychologists study one individual in great depth in the hope of revealing things that are true of all of us. Much of our early knowledge about the brain came from case studies of individuals who suffered a particular impairment after damage to a certain brain region. Sigmund Freud constructed his theory of personality from a handful of case studies. The survey method. The survey method is commonly used in both descriptive and correlational studies. The survey looks at many cases in less depth, and a survey asks people to report their behavior or opinions. How the questions are worded and who is included in the survey are important features that must be discussed and planned for with these studies. An overview of correlation. Two things correlate when one accompanies the other. Psychologists use numbers to describe the strength of a relationship expressed as a correlation. However, caution must be exercised against illusory correlations that can incorrectly infer cause and effect. The correlational coefficient is the statistical measure of a relationship. It reveals how closely two things vary together and how well either one predicts the other. The correlation coefficient is indicated by a plus or minus sign and a decimal. The plus or minus sign indicates the direction of the relationship. The number itself indicates the strength of the relationship between 0.00 and 1.00. Naturalistic observation. Naturalistic observation involves watching and recording the behavior of organisms in their natural environment. These naturalistic observations range from watching, for example, in the animal kingdom, chimpanzee societies in the jungle, or in the human kingdom, to use unobtrusive measures of parent-child interactions in different cultures. Here's another review question. What is meant by a case study? Answer: among the oldest research methods is the case study. With this descriptive method, psychologists study one individual in great depth and the hope of revealing information and things that are true of all of us. Much of our early knowledge about the brain came from case studies of individuals who suffered a particular impairment after damage to a certain brain region. Variables in research studies. When doing research studies, the characteristic or value that can change is known as a variable. Variables can be divided into two general categories, dependent and independent variables. An independent variable is one the experimenter can control, whereas a dependent variable is one that's measured and recorded in the study. Randomization during experiments. In a typical experiment, people are randomly assigned to either a treatment group or a control group. And this process equalizes the groups from the start, and after doing this, any later differences are probably caused by the experimental variable. Descriptive versus inferential statistics. Statistical analysis of the data from psychological studies can be subjected to descriptive or inferential statistics. Descriptive statistics are used to summarize the data. This would describe the main features. An example would be population counting by the Census Bureau. Inferential statistics, on the other hand, are used to reach conclusions about the data, such as whether the observed difference between groups is dependable or by chance. Ethical guidelines for research. There are ethical guidelines put forth from federal government agencies, educational institutions, and the American Psychological Association for the ethical treatment of subjects in research studies. Some of these ethical recommendations include informed consent, confidentiality, integrity, and preventing conflicts between the treatment of study subjects and organizational demands. Now move on to discuss the biological basis for behavior, including the nervous system and neurons. The human nervous system is divided into the central nervous system and the peripheral nervous system. The central nervous system includes the brain and spinal cord. The peripheral nervous system contains all the neurons and nerves that are not in the central nervous system. The human brain. The major regions of the human brain are the cerebrum, diencephalon, mesencephalon, the pons, the cerebellum, and the medulla oblongata, or brainstem. The cerebrum is the most anterior and superior region of the brain, including the frontal lobes. The cerebral cortex is the outer layer of the brain between 2 and 4 millimeters thick, which folds into sulci and surrounds the cerebrum. The human brain has lateralization of function. Higher order functions in the brain can be localized to one of the two cerebral hemispheres. An example is the lateralization of speech. It's been estimated that approximately 70% of individuals have speech lateralized to the left hemisphere. In this hemisphere are Broca and Wernicke's area, both of which are involved in speech. The evidence for this has come from anatomical studies as well as functional imaging studies. The functional unit of the nervous system is the neuron. These conduct signals from the brain to the rest of the system, and also surrounding those neurons are supportive cells known as glial cells. The neuron is specialized for receiving signals at the dendrites and cell body, propagating electrical impulses down the axon, and transmitting signals at the terminal branches. Another aspect of human anatomy and physiology that can have a profound effect on behavior and individual psychological response are hormones, the fight or flight response. The suprarenal medulla makes up the center of the adrenal gland, and it produces the following hormones, epinephrine and norepinephrine. Epinephrine is a fight or flight hormone, and when it's secreted, it prepares the body for action by increasing heart rate and delivering more blood to the skeletal muscles. Norepinephrine is both a hormone and a neurotransmitter. As a hormone, it acts synergistically with epinephrine and also increases blood pressure by vasoconstriction. Here's another review question. What's an example of a higher order brain function? Answer, higher order functions in the brain can be localized to one of the two cerebral hemispheres. An example is speech. It's been estimated that 70% of individuals have speech lateralized to the left hemisphere. Now I'll move on to discuss perception and states of consciousness. Sensory receptors and sensory transduction. Sensory receptors are the initial component of our sensory systems, such as touch and vision. They respond to a stimulus and perform sensory transduction. They're specialized transducers of energy and information from our surrounding environment. As part of the peripheral nervous system, sensory nerves transmit information to the central nervous system. Sensory receptors are classed based on location, their morphology, and the rate of adaptation or function over time. The special senses of the body are vision, smell, taste, hearing, and equilibrium. Categories of general receptors. The general sensory receptors are spread over the body in the skin and other locations. These receptors sense stimuli such as pain and changes in temperature. Based on the type of stimuli that excites the receptor, there are four groups: nociceptors, thermoreceptors, mechanoreceptors, and chemoreceptors. Nociceptors detect pain. They can be classified as fast or slow acting. Fast pain is produced by a small injury or a deep cut. Slow pain is more of an aching pain that lasts longer. When pain is present in a visceral organ, such as in the heart, it can be perceived in the more superficial region that's innervated by the same spinal nerve. This is known as referred pain. An example of this would be referred pain down the left arm during a heart attack. Vision. The human eye is made up of the following key structures. The cornea, which is the transparent part of the eye that covers the iris and pupil. It reflects light and helps the eye to focus. The iris, which is the colored portion of the eye, and this muscular structure constricts and dilates the pupil. The pupil is the sphere in the center of the iris through which the light enters the eye. The human eye detects light and transmits a nerve impulse along the optic nerve to the visual area of the brain. The light excites the retina at the back of the eye. The retina contains the photoreceptor cells that convert light into nerve impulses. Here's another review question. Describe pain and what referred pain is. Answer. Pain sensed by nociceptors can be classified generally as fast or slow. Fast pain is produced by a small injury or a deep cut. Slow pain is more of an aching pain that lasts longer. When pain is present in a visceral organ, for example the heart, it can also be perceived in the more superficial region that's innervated by the same spinal nerve. This is referred pain. Let's continue our discussion of visual pathways. The visual information from the temporal visual field is projected from the retinal ganglion neurons through the optic nerve to the brain. Some of this visual information crosses over to the opposite side of the brain in the optic chiasm, and some remains on the same side. The visual fields themselves are divided as follows. A visual target seen by both eyes is imaged by the nasal region of the retina in the left eye and the temporal region of the retina in the right eye. The opposite is also true, which means both eyes share part of the same image. The special sense of hearing. The human ear captures sound and it helps to balance the head and neck. The ear itself is divided into three regions: the outer ear, the middle ear, and the inner ear. The outer ear includes the pinna, external auditory meatus, and the auditory canal. The auditory canal contains glands that secrete cerumen or earwax, which is a protective substance. The auditory canal transmits sound waves to the inner ear. Another special sense in humans is taste. Gustatory or taste receptors are clustered together in taste buds. These are present on the raised surface of the tongue, called papilla. There are approximately 10,000 taste buds, and they contain chemoreceptors, which are replaced approximately every 10 days. The chemoreceptor cells synapse with the afferent axons. Chemoreceptor cells detect stimulatory molecules in the overlying fluid layer. Human behavior is strongly impacted by attention. Concentrating on one or part of our surroundings and allocating resources to that focus is known as attention. In psychology, attention has been described as clearing one's mind to focus on one object or train of thought in a clear, vivid form. There's an intimate connection between attention and consciousness and behavior. The inability to focus one's attention can lead to changes in behavior and possibly a diagnosis of a disorder such as attention deficit disorder. Consciousness. Consciousness has been described as one's awareness of their surroundings and their individual thoughts and feelings about one's surroundings. Altered states of consciousness include waking and sleeping, dreaming, hypnosis, and drug-induced states of consciousness. An example of an altered state of consciousness is hypnosis. Hypnosis is defined as a state of suggestive, cooperative interaction by the American Psychological Association. It's been documented to be clinically beneficial in the treatment of pain and anxiety. Hypnotic drugs or psychoactive drugs are primarily used to induce sleep in the treatment of insomnia. Now move on to discuss learning and cognition. Learning and cognitive processes, personality, and abnormal behavior. Learning involves acquiring new information or skills that can change our behavior. Learning can be divided into classical conditioning, operant conditioning, and observational learning. In classical conditioning, there's a pairing of a neutral stimulus with a target stimulus. In operant conditioning, there's a learning with the use of either a positive or negative reinforcement. Observational learning involves learning of behaviors by imitating or copying an observed behavior. Motivation and learning. How motivated an individual is can have a major impact on their learning. How a positive or negative reinforcement impacts an individual during learning can change their motivation. The more motivated an individual is towards learning a new skill or new information can drastically affect their success. Review question. What are the three main types of learning? Answer. Learning involves acquiring new information or skills, and it can be divided into classical conditioning, operant conditioning, and observational learning. Classical conditioning involves pairing a neutral stimulus with the target stimulus. Operant conditioning is learning with the use of positive or negative reinforcements, and observational learning is learning by imitating or copying a behavior. Higher brain functions such as comprehension, learning, imagination, and perception are known as cognition. Cognitive processes include automatic processing, which refers to processing information automatically or subconsciously, focused attention, which is one's ability to respond and attend specific stimuli discreetly, or divided attention. This is responding or maintaining multiple tasks or stimuli simultaneously. Personality. The personality of an individual is based on the characteristics that influence their behavior and how they respond in their changing environment. In psychology, there are a number of theories on the personality of humans. Trait theory, which means an individual is open to experiences, agreeable, and sociable. Psychoanalytical theory, which is the id, ego, and superego. And humanistic theory. This is that personality is driven by free will choices. Tools used by psychologists to study personality include the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, and this scale measures the response of an individual in categories such as depression, hysteria, paranoia, and masculinity and femininity. Abnormal behavior. Abnormal behavior is a deviation of the typical or expected behavior, although this definition can be debatable. Abnormal behavior includes diagnostic categories such as mood disorder, schizophrenia, and dissociative disorders. The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, or DSM, is the main reference used to diagnose an individual with one of these mentioned behaviors. The treatment of abnormal behavior includes psychotherapy aimed at revealing and understanding the underlying experiences that drive that behavior, cognitive behavioral therapy involving helping individuals to overcome their fear, for example, a fear of heights, and medical therapy. Medical therapy can be used in addition to psychotherapy in instances where an organic change in the brain can be targeted. Social psychology. Social psychology studies how the influence of others or the individual's surroundings affect their behavior. The individual may behave differently if there are a number of other people present. An example would be group polarization. This is when, as a group of individuals, actions or decisions are made that would not be done by the individual. This can lead to dangerous, risky behavior, such as rioting. In this section of the tutorial, we'll discuss how to study AP psychology. Connect topics together. As part of your studying, connect new topics to things you already knew. You can use a concept map to connect the ideas and information. Then apply such an understanding to your review process. Effective study techniques. These include understanding the material, and if you don't, ask questions, either in class, before or after class, or during office hours. Partner with somebody who's taking the same test and study together. Form a study group to help motivate one another. Focus on the concepts and the connections. Everything will not make sense all at once. Focusing on the concepts and how these concepts fit into the big picture will help you succeed in AP psychology. Practice, practice, practice. Practice psychology multiple choice questions to enhance what you've learned. Do the full-length practice tests to familiarize yourself with the AP format. Be persistent until you get it. Resist the temptation to look at the solution guide or to Google the answers. A great technique for memorizing is the use of a mnemonic. Keyword mnemonics are a great way to memorize what you need for class and for the test. You make them in the following way. Step 1, list the keywords in a logical order. Step 2, write down the first letter of each keyword. And step 3, create a word, phrase, or sentence from the first letters of these keywords. For example, to remember the various subfields in psychology, biological, developmental, cognitive, personality, and social, take the first letter from each word, BDCPS, and create the following mnemonic. But do cats play soccer? That's it. If you ever get stuck in hard-to-remember terms, create a mnemonic. Here are some test preparation strategies. A four-review step process. Follow this four-step process to successfully study and review for the AP Psychology exam. Number one, manage your time wisely. Number two is to understand the concepts and what you're studying. Number three, do practice problems to test what you know. And number four, review efficiently. Forward planning. Set a study schedule. Set aside some time slots every day to study and do not put off your study schedule. You need to practice every day in the coming weeks and months as you prepare for the test. Long-term study goals. Some students incorrectly believe that if they study more as the test date approaches, they'll remember more. Building long-term memory by studying in set doses ahead of time increases memory and the understanding of concepts. Use study aids, for example, a cheat sheet or flashcards. A cheat sheet is a summary of what you've learned and includes key terms and concepts. Flashcards. Flashcards are just an index card with a question on one side and the answer on the other. Test yourself by using flashcards. Here are some specific test-taking strategies. Follow these steps during the test. Know the basic layout of the test before you take it. Plan your attack the minute the test begins. Use whatever focusing techniques you need to improve your score and apply these techniques to eliminate incorrect answers. If you don't know the answer, make an educated guess. Test day tips. Arrive early and prepared, and double-check the time and location of the test. Have a backup alarm clock just in case, and it's a good idea to arrive at least 15 minutes before the test begins. Also, know the test format. By the time you actually take the test, you should have memorized the instructions and how the test proceeds. Know the number of questions in each section and the time allotted for each section. Also, to know what types of questions are in each section. Plan your attack. Spend at least 30 seconds to go through the questions at the beginning of a section. Pace yourself on your watch and make a mental note of the halfway point and when you should be there. Set a time limit for each of the multiple choice questions. Divide the total time allowed in that section by the number of questions to estimate the time limit per question. A good limit is about 1 or 2 minutes per question. Multiple choice exam tips. Don't waste time on any one question. The difficulty increases in general, but you may be more familiar with some of the later topics. The test is written so that you won't know everything, so don't waste time on questions that are obviously ones you haven't studied. You can move on and come back to those at the end. There's no longer any guessing penalty in AP tests, so do not skip any questions. No points are awarded for answers left blank. You will always get the wrong answer if you don't fill in any choice, so take an educated guess. Answer all questions. You'll be rewarded. Here are some tips for the free response section of the exam. Answer the whole question, including each subpart. Don't give extraneous information to show everything you know about a topic. It won't get you any more points. As extra information is given, the odds of including an incorrect statement increase. Also, you can spend too much time writing everything you know, and you might miss answering the actual question. After you've written your essay answer, read each question and sub-question to ensure you answered everything and not missed a part. Once you're satisfied you've completely answered the question and any sub-questions, proofread your answers. This will ensure you actually wrote what you intended and prevent unnecessary mistakes. Summary. The following is a summary of what you've learned in this tutorial. The scope of the AP Psychology exam. The writers acknowledge that teachers vary a little in the content and emphasis of a general psychology course. they do not expect anyone's student to know them all. Psychology is the science that deals with mental processes and behavior. The focus is on emotional and behavioral characteristics of individuals through all stages of life, groups, and activities. Sigmund Freud was a pioneer in the development of psychoanalysis and the psychodynamic school of psychology. This way of approaching psychology is based on the influence of the unconscious mind on an individual's behavior. During the test, don't waste time on any one question. The difficulty does increase, but in general, you may be more familiar with some of the later topics. Congratulations on completing the Introduction to AP Psychology audio tutorial. For more audio and visual tutorials in chemistry, biology, physics, and math, go to www.rapidlearningcenter.com. Thank you.